We're here with Founder and Managing Director of Economic Indicator Services. Back again, Phil Anderson. Great to be with you, Phil. The recent financial turmoil has thrown many heads spinning. What's been your interpretation of it as we interview amongst a building zone? Apology, listeners.
Yeah, hi, Carl. Well, it should be... It looks to me just like it's pretty much history repeating. The stock markets around the world are pricing in a recession. But from my point of view, and what I try to teach everybody with my business, is that they need to understand the difference between a usual recession that tends to happen about once every 7, 8, 10 years, and a recession that is land price induced. And there's a fundamentally big difference between the two. And when you get a land price induced recession, which tend to happen, from my research, tend to happen about once every 18 to 20 years, then these land price induced recessions, because they involve the creation of bank credit on the foundation of land price, when you do get the downturn is going to be significant. It's going to be what I would call inevitable, and because land price collapses, there's very little that the Fed and reserve banks around the world can do about it with the bag of tricks that they normally have.
Can you just spell out what a land price led recession is all about and why this occurs?
Well, because the rent of land is enclosed, in other words, it's allowed to capitalize into a purchase price, then you'll have investors and ordinary persons that buy houses. They will go to a bank to borrow money, and it just sets off, or it seems to set off, a process where land price just becomes more and more expensive as the years go on, which means people have to borrow more and more money. Eventually you get into a boom, banks continue to lend money, until eventually the price just becomes unsustainable for the average wage earner to afford. You get to a stage where it can no longer be afforded, and it leads to inevitable bust. This process seems to take somewhere around 18 years to come to fruition.
You mentioned their lending practices. Joseph Stiglitz has an interesting article out and about commenting on the end of neoliberalism and the winding back of banking rules and regulations. How much has that had to play in this financial turmoil, and is that the prime reason this is occurring or not?
I don't see anything new in the process that's happening with banks. Every single cycle, if you can go back in the US, back to 1800, and before that in the UK, and certainly back to the 2 centuries ago in Australia, every single cycle, banks find new ways to lend money. They find new ways to promote their businesses. Land price continues to go higher and higher, which of course the banks don't mind, because that means they can lend more and more money. And, well, actually they don't lend money, they create credit, which they continue to do. And it's just the same old, every cycle. And we're just seeing the end of another real estate cycle now, and it's just the reason why you get such a big boom, because the banks have created so much credit. It just comes to a bust. It's nothing new. It's been happening every single cycle for a long time now.
Even just 10 years ago, or might have been a bit longer, the savings and loan scandal in America, you know, billions of dollars, the banks were bailed out. How does this continue to happen? Do they think we've all got short memories?
Well, the savings and loan crisis was between about 1988 to 1991. Before that, you had the banks crisis in America with the Franklin National Bank, which Arthur Burns, I think, the Fed chairman then, said if it ever happened again, there'd be they couldn't afford to have it happen again. So it's nothing new, and these things are just going to continue to happen. It's just banks doing what they do. That's great credit.
And that's good enough, you know. The taxpayers meant to just bail them out whenever they come into. You know, whenever their behavioural practices are loose enough to encourage a sort of reckless lending that's gone on.
Well, see, banks are the linchpin of the economy. And if you have just a normal company that just happens to manufacture cars or boats or trams or whatever it might be, if that company happens to do something badly and they get into problems, well, you can let that go bust, because the only people that get affected are the owners of the business and the creditors. But with a bank, because a bank is creating credit to finance the purchase of many things, the biggest of which is usually land value, if you get to a situation where the banks have lent or created credit on land price, or and houses particularly, but the land price underneath it, if you get to a situation where, as we do after about every 18 years, land price begins to cool down and then decline, if you get to a situation where the value of the house and land outstanding goes below the value of the credit created by the bank for the loan, then you have a serious issue with the bank, because the bank could actually collapse. If the public get to hear that the banks are no longer sound, they'll all start demanding their money back, which of course the banks don't have. It isn't there in the offices, which means the banks can't pay out the creditors, being the depositors. This becomes a serious issue for the economy, because it means that the banks can no longer be creating credit, no longer financing the purchase of land value. It means you end up with a deflationary spiral, which can be quite nasty for economies, and the government simply cannot afford to have that happen. Since the government cannot afford to have that happen, they have no choice but to bail out these institutions, and the only way they can do that is with taxpayer-funded money. And so it's just absolutely inevitable, because the especially in the US, they won't allow these institutions to fail because of the such damaging effect. Then they're not going to be allowed to fail, and taxpayers will put in. Of course, the failure happens because they should never have been allowed to create so much credit on the land price in the first place, but that's another story.
Certainly is, and for Ben Bernanke and the Fed to bail out these banks, they have to print up more government bonds, and for that to really take place, they need someone to buy them. As more and more 3CR listeners are tuning in and understand this point that people like Kenneth Davidson have been talking about for a long time, and that is that the Chinese and Japanese have bought pretty much a fair amount of these treasury bonds for a long time, and that's allowed America to spend and spend itself into such record debt levels. How do you see that trend continuing, particularly with the Chinese share market, which has also dropped quite significantly this year?
This is the next problem. I would suggest now that the Fed in the US and the federal government in the US have probably managed to overcome the financial problems that they've got with the declining land prices putting pressure on banks and its and the credit crisis institutions.
Wow, you reckon they've turned it round?
No, they haven't turned it round, but they've probably stopped the problems from getting worse. What you're going to have to see now is how things pan out. If it continues to create nervousness, and if the United States creditors, which they are the bondholders, Japan, China and other nations, if there is another event that takes place within the next couple of months that will give those bondholders and the US creditors caution and pause to start thinking about the credibility and the worthiness of the US and its government, then you might see a currency crisis. If you get a currency crisis in the US, that could create a bit of panic. It's worth noting that a currency crisis, or when they occur for most countries around the world, the most serious ones have always and only ever happened after land price has declined first. You now have that situation in the US where land price has declined. You have a situation now, if the Fed continues to print dollars and as many as it is, it could create a crisis for the currency. I'd anticipate that the pressure for that to happen will be around February or March of next year. We'll just have to wait to see how events unfold, but I suspect that the new incoming president's probably going to have to deal with a couple of serious issues, I would suggest. But we'll see how the authorities handle the process as it comes through.
Yes, because Ireland, Spain, London, all facing price drops, price falls. Same thing happening in Perth, actually, as well. So it's interesting to see that this domino is spreading around the globe, and it's the over investment in land prices encouraged through easy credit that has allowed this situation to occur. And the thing that gets me, though, is even if the Fed does bail out these US banks and somehow the American system limps along, the difference between what we're paying in our mortgages compared to what our real wage levels are at is so much greater than ever before. Do you think perhaps what we're seeing is an evolution towards what's going on in Europe, this neo-feudal, multi-generational mortgage type scenario? Is that perhaps what the big boys are setting up for us to wade our way through?
Well, we'll have to see what happens. I just look at it from a cyclical point of view, and I just know from my studies of history, particularly in Australia, that there are good times to buy a house and there are bad times to buy a house. And the last couple of years or so, if history is to repeat, it would indicate that it's not the best time to have bought a house, because if prices come down a bit now, you'll find the people in the last 2 years who bought the houses will have negative equity. This has been happening for a long time now. It's been happened in 1988-89, and then as we turned down into 91, it happened in 1973-74, and you can go way back into the 1920s and 30s, and before that into the 1890s and things. It's the same old story. So I just look at it from a cyclical point of view, and I just think history is to repeat, and I would suggest that by 2010, land prices, which really mean house prices, will be lower than they are today, which means it'll be better for people coming in to buy, which is a good thing.
Well, thank you, Phil, for drilling down into these issues as the penthouse apartments go up around us here on Hardware Lane. We certainly like urban density, and we love chatting to you. Quick, mate, the plug for the website.
Yes, you can. If you want to follow up some of the information more, you can see that at www.businesscycles.biz.
Excellent. Thanks, Phil. Beautiful.